Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right, just by going to nerdandtie.com and clicking on the sponsorship information. If you sent us $20, we'd say something nice about you here. And yeah, that's how that works. Or if you'd like to contribute to our legal fund, go to gofundme.com/nerdandtie. Now, I'm going to duck out for the rest of this episode because I wasn't on it and I'm recording this bit in post. Yeah.
On this week's episode of Nerd and Tie, we've got a season renewal for MST3K, the CW fires Andrew Kaisberg, Brian Fuller and Michael Green depart American Gods, anime Boston sues at Boston Anime Fest, guest checks bounce after Waxacon, some letters from the mailbag, and more on this episode of Nerd and Tie.
Woo!
I'm one of your lovely hosts, Gen Proc, and with me today is the illustrious Nick Izumi.
Fresh off a Fate movie and confused out of my mind. We are, there's only two of us this week.
Yeah, unfortunately we are not joined by Traidorn this episode, due to technical difficulties that we could barely understand. It's been a nightmare of nonsense, but you've got the two of us today, and we're going to bring you this episode whether you like it or not.
Let's say, I think it's, you know, it's still good. You get.
Oh, yeah.
We got this. We're ready for this. We got a full docket of...
Definitely.
There's not a lot of happy news on the docket, is there, this week?
Yeah, but we can start off with some happy news.
Please do.
Which is the fact that one of our favorite shows here on Nerd and Tie, Mystery Science Theater 3000, is going to come out with yet another season of the new series. And we are really, really flipping excited. They announced it during their Turkey Day marathon on Thanksgiving Day. And
what a great way to spend Turkey Day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all the information we have right now. So
I'm embarrassed to say I haven't actually finished watching season 11 yet, the brand new season.
Same. I got sidetracked. Should really get back on that.
The next one I have is the Christmas episode, so maybe that's appropriate.
Perfect. Yes.
I really, like you said, Gen, we're both huge fans of MST3K. I know Trey is too. I think, if I'm not mistaken, everyone who hosts this show contributed to bringing the show back on the Kickstarter anyway. Is that right? Did we all do that?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because I know Trey did. And yeah, you did, so, and I did, so yeah.
Yep, got my t-shirt. Got my stickers. I stick them on something, but...
Same. Same, though.
I'm terrible with knowing, like, I get all these stickers, and I'm like, I could stick them on, like, my laptop, but what if I get a new laptop? I'll lose those stickers.
Right?
And so, like, I'm very cautious about what I stick stickers to. I know I should do it, but... Ugh.
I'm really jazzed because I enjoyed the hell out of Jonah Ray and the new bots.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think. There's. I mean, you know, I don't know what else we can say that we haven't already said about the new series before. It was very good. Some episodes were hits. Some were kind of misses, but that's pretty standard for Mystery Science Theater.
You
know,
yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm really happy.
You definitely get some good with the bad. And the same with this show, you get the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm. Not everything in the new season was golden, but Reptilicus was. Starcrashed was.
Yeah.
Beast of Hollow Mountain threw me for a loop, and then it ended up being hilarious at the end. So, yeah. No, I was very, very happy, and I can't wait for more.
Same. Definitely the same. Very cool.
I guess I we made our goal that we didn't want to make the show run too long, but I do want to ask you again. Are there any weird, terrible movies that you've seen that you think would be cool for them to pick up?
I don't know. My boyfriend and I actually have a selection of terrible VHSs to send to Red Letter Media as a Christmas present. But that's like a different kind of bad movie.
Right.
I don't know.
I do actually have a couple, believe it or not.
I figured you'd have a few.
I'm like...
And they are?
The first one that comes to mind is one that I was introduced to by the Spoony Experiment, back when that was still like a regular web show and such. And that is Your Hunter of the Future, which was a low-budget, god-awful Conan the Barbarian knockoff that up until, like, this year was only available on VHS. And then Shout Factory, because they're Shout Factory, produced a Blu-ray of it. But Your Hunter of the Future features knockoff Conan. It features... drop kicking someone while hanging on to the bottom of a pterodactyl. And maybe best of all, it features a theme song that uses the phrase, and I quote, "Yours world, he's the man. Yours world, he is the man." Yeah, no, that is a movie I absolutely adore. And I really would, I would really like to see that get a Mystery Science Theater treatment. And the other one that I don't know if they could, because of how big the people in it, like, this one actually has actors you've heard of, but it's like a majestically bad movie that I kind of unironically love, but I would still love to see them rip on, is the 1992 action film Free Jack. Which starred Emilio Estevez and Mick Jagger. And that one has, if I recall the plot properly, I actually enjoyed this movie, but I don't remember it that well. This race car driver dies, he was about to die. But then people come from the future to kidnap him so that they can use his body and let rich people in the future live longer.
Wow.
And he meets his wife also in the future, and she hasn't aged a day, and there's no explanation for that.
Oh my god,
I absolutely love it, though. It's one of those movies that is just so off the rails crazy. I would love to see Free Jack. I would love to see Your Hunter of the Future. And I did think of one more, but the music rights would probably make it impossible. This was a movie that that regular listener Archimize forced me to watch for my bachelor party. It is called Streets of Fire. And Streets of Fire is honestly indescribable. young Willem Dafoe in wearing leather overalls is a villain who exists in this weird sci-fi dystopia where everything looks like it's the 1950s, but everyone listens to 80s music.
My god.
And he kidnaps this girl. So then her ex-boyfriend who sometimes has a mustache and sometimes doesn't, teams up with, this spunky chick and Rick Moranis, who I think I'm supposed to be taking seriously, to rescue her. And everything is made of explodium.
Oh my gosh.
And best of all, the final fight, our hero has a sledgehammer fight with Willem Dafoe.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my, yeah. Those are my submissions in the infinitesimal chance that anyone from Mystery Science Theater listens to this show.
All right, so I came up with a couple myself.
Okay, good.
After thinking about it a little bit, I would love for them to do Gymkata.
Oh heck yeah!
Like
that's a classic.
Yes. And then I would love for them to do Surf Ninjas as well.
Oh. Yes.
I feel like those two would be some like golden episodes. Just like really good.
They're more well-known movies, but they're also just begging to be riffed.
Right? They're well-known because they're bad and because they're riffable. I feel like
you go back, like Crow kept talking about Gymkata in exactly. some of the early episodes, so I feel like it's only right that they finally sit down and watch it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh my god.
That'd be amazing.
So, I don't know if you have anything else that you want to add to the story, or if we should just leave it at that with our suggestions that they should totally listen to.
Yes. I like it.
Oh, so, speaking of taking the right advice, in this never-ending train of awful people being exposed for being awful people, a showrunner behind two of my favorite TV shows had some pretty big sexual misconduct and harassment claims leveled against him. Andrew Kreisberg, one of the showrunners for The Flash and Supergirl, along with being an executive producer on Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and a couple of the CW's online series. He had some pretty nasty allegations made against him, and the CW did the right thing, and they booted his ass. He is fired from their team. Yeah.
Good.
I'm happy CW made the right decision. It's still super gross and makes me super uncomfortable because, honestly, Supergirl is such a positive show. Like, it's one of the most positive shows with women protagonists on TV, and it's really gross that a gross person was one of the people running it.
Yeah. Well, it's like really nice that all these like gross people are like coming to light with their grossness.
Mm-hmm.
It just sucks that, you know, they help make really great things.
Mm-hmm.
And ugh.
Yes.
Pills away from this good shit.
Yeah, kid. So. I have not watched their DC Superheroes Adventures in Nazi Land crossover special that I heard was really cool. But I'll be sad knowing that Kreisberg was involved on it. But I'm glad that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Oy, that's.
Ugh.
Yeah, I really don't have much else to add. I mean, you hit it on the head. It's
kind of wash our hands of that filth.
Yeah, get these gross people away from good things.
Yeah, like, and it just helps to teach everyone, like, hey, if you're gross, that's not good, and we're not gonna let you do cool things.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be gross.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you executive produced some of the best superhero television available, or if you created the greatest samurai manga of all time. You're gonna be held accountable.
Yeah. There are consequences for your actions.
I guess that's the bright side of that awful ugh-ness.
Yeah. Ugh. Let's move on from that awfulness.
Not a whole lot more to be said. This is another one this one's disappointing. This one's not nearly as gross, but it's still not exactly good news. It was announced recently at the end of November that showrunners Michael Green and Brian Fuller are leaving the Starz TV series American Gods, based on the Neil Gaiman novel. Which is pretty shocking. There's no official reason listed as to why they're leaving the show, but the prevailing theory and rumor going out there is that it is a dispute over the budget that the show was getting. But I guess they're looking for a new showrunner for American Gods, and I'm wondering what they're going to do moving forward with that. I wish I had... I like Brian Fuller. Like, I really did enjoy... I really did enjoy the other things I've seen that he's worked on. Especially thing that I can't remember the name of right now with the guy bringing people back from the dead. I loved it so much, I can't remember the name of the show. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Pushing Daisies?
Pushing Daisies. Like I said, I love it so much, I don't know its name. I wish I had more of an opinion on this. I only just started reading the book, and I promised myself and my friend who lent me the book that I wouldn't watch the show till I read it. So,
yeah, same. So, not much we could really say. I mean...
Brian Fuller, what is with this guy not staying on promising shows, though? That's my big takeaway right now. Like...
Well, and I've heard from people who have read the book that, like, the show is, like, a pretty dang good adaptation to it. And so I'm just wondering, like, I hope they can keep that, because we really like that as consumers of both books and televised media, so...
Yeah, it's kind of nice when you love a book and then the adaptation understands why you loved that book.
Right, yeah.
I mean, granted, there have definitely been times where there are good adaptations that have little understanding or interest in the source material. Like, where it's a bad adaptation, but it's a good movie. Starship Troopers is the movie.
Definitely.
Yeah, politically, Starship Troopers the movie couldn't be any more at odds with the book than it is. I don't know why that was my first example.
It works. I'm trying to think of others.
There's jeepers. I had another one on the tip of my tongue and it totally skipped my mind. But
well, I mean, most of us in the Tolkien fandom really do love the original Lord of the Rings movies. Even though there are, like, they're not perfect adaptations of the books. Like,
they took some pretty big liberties, yeah.
They did. But we love them, like, all the same. Way more than The Hobbit.
Oh.
But
Jen
anyways.
Is still having Hobbit feels.
Yep.
It's been 2 weeks and you're still going over. Oh, man. Yeah, I feel for fans of the show, though, because that's scary, especially when you have, like, a A-plus tier showrunner and you have no idea who's going to replace them, that's a scary spot to be in.
And they're, like, in the middle of season. Like, they're in between seasons right now, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
Like, and that sucks.
Because,
like, oh, man, I really loved the first season, but the second season went down the tube. Like, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You really love that thing. Man, I feel for these fans.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I really, really hope that, I really hope that it gets together for the sake of the fans, and hopefully by the time I get to watching the show, it'll be worth watching. Okay, that's... And with that, I think that covers what we were gonna talk about, so...
Yeah.
Do we want to move on to con news?
We can... There's a couple stories in the con news area.
I am curious.
Couple fun stories. The long-running nonprofit anime convention Anime Boston has filed a lawsuit against an event run by two former volunteers over the name of their convention. And even though the other convention is technically called Boston South Coast Comic Con, they've been marketing themselves under the name of Boston Anime Fest.
Okay. Okay,
so we have Anime Boston and Boston Anime Fest. And we have the logos up on our site. You could search their logos. They're very different.
One of them has way more bargain brand Godzilla than the other one does, for starters.
Yes. Yes, it does. It's understandable that Anime Boston is concerned about that potential attendees could be confused by the similar names. But, like, it's just, like...
But that seems silly to me. I don't... And maybe it's easy for us to say that now, since, I mean, like, on the other hand, I guess, yeah, we are in a kind of a glut of kind of an oversaturated con market, and sticking out is important. But this doesn't seem like a great way of establishing why you stick out.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. It's just, like, Anime Boston versus Boston Anime Fest.
It seems like, a little silly.
It's a bit silly. Like, because yes, they have both. They're both using anime and Boston, but they're in different, like, places in the titles. And, like, I just think it's real silly.
Anime Boston is also established enough that I don't think it should be a problem. The branding is very different. It just seems silly.
Yeah, I mean, well.
All right, I'm. This is Trey in post production. Because I was not involved on recording the show. I'm gonna kick in with a completely different opinion than what Gen and Nick are talking about here. I haven't listened to the rest of their discussion, so maybe they'll touch on this. But first off, it has to be really clear that Boston Anime Fest originally was Boston. Right now, Anime Fest, there's no space between anime and fest, but originally there was, and some of the people had marked down things as Boston Anime, which is actually very similar to Anime Boston, especially when you consider that a lot of people actually do misspeak and call Anime Boston Boston Anime, even in the region. And so there is a genuine concern about the similarity of the trademark to their trademark. And also Anime Boston did send a cease and desist, and all they wanted was for this company to stop marketing under the Boston Anime name. and they got resistance, and so that's so I'm just gonna have to I fundamentally disagree. I think it's important for Anime Boston to defend their mark, and I know that I Gen and Nick don't know that I'm inserting this into the show, so. And again, I haven't listened to the rest of the discussion. I'm just literally grabbed my mic while I was doing the edit. And yeah, I'm gonna put the audio back on, but let's be clear that the opinions of we are not of one opinion on this, apparently. So I'm with Anime Boston. I don't think it's silly. I think it's important for a business to defend their trademark, especially in this kind of situation. And you know, Boston Anime Fest, it's a con that lists its own showrunner as a guest. And Google who actually search on our website for the name of their photo op provider. Yay! All right, back to Nick and Gen, and I'll shut up now because they can't respond to me because they're in the past and I'm in the present, but it's all the past for. Anyways, I should shut up. Hitting play again.
We'll see how it shakes out in the long run, but I don't really see an issue. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's...
Cons these days are just getting into all sorts of fun stuff.
Really? What makes you say... That seems like a transition into more insanity, Ken.
Yeah... Yeah. So, on November 18th and 19th, the first ever Waxacon, happened in, I'm sorry if I butcher this, Waxahachie, Texas? I'm guessing it's Waxahachie. That's how it's spelled.
Waxahachie.
Yeah, Waxacon held its first convention with about 600 attendees, and they got to meet a whole bunch of guests like Corin Nemec, Olivia Hack, Kevin Dehaney, Jeff Perrazzo, Christina Masterson, Philip Andrew, Jack Guzman, Philip Jean Murray, and Chuck Huber. Huh.
Quite the lineup.
But, like, with that many guests and that few people, that seems like a really fun, like, intimate experience. Like, I would love that.
It sounds good for the attendees, but not necessarily for the con runners.
Yeah, well, not so great for the guests, as they haven't been paid yet.
Oh, boy. That's not good, guys.
We've spoken to representation for multiple guests who appeared at the con, and they haven't seen payment arrive at all, and the guests that were handed checks have seen them bounce.
Whew.
So, yeah.
Which and they even waited the requisite amount of time to send the payment, like, yeah, to make sure that it would, that their contract said that it would be clearing. And yeah, they, even, Waxacon did not fulfill their end of the contract, basically.
And this, like, sorry if I'm reading the article as I go, which you can find on our website, nerdandtie.com.
What a great site.
Gosh, this just goes crazy. Okay, so Nerd and Tie reached out to the convention organizer of Waxacon for an official statement, and he gave us quite a lengthy bit of text that they... Sorry, this is just like...
It's a little overwhelming, this whole thing.
It is.
Like, it really is.
Because he's saying that the checks were written as a guarantee of payment to be held until they receive their cashier's check as per the contract. and that all depends on the contract itself. They cash the check within 18 hours without allowing the requisite time. As far as I know, there should be no requisite time.
It's very...
To cash a check from when you get it? I'm very confused by this. Texas law requires a notification from their bank in the form of a certified letter and to allow me 10 days by law to respond to the check.
Yeah, that's just strange.
Oh, this is really, really strange.
I guess it should be noted that, yeah, we did reach out to them, or rather, Trey did.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, no, and this was their response back to us.
Mm-hmm.
About these bounced checks. And, okay, so the contract does say that payment will be made via cash or cashier's check. And that's okay. But, like, to be handed a check as a guarantee of payment is dumb, especially when, like, you're apparently unable to cover that check.
Well, and then you get the just the response that we got was, it was a bit hostile. I mean,
a little bit. I mean,
and then of course they followed up on their Facebook page by kind of they even posted something, basically trying to say, sometimes things don't go the way we want them to, and, we try again, but we're all human beings, and we're all fallible, which I get. And I can sympathize to the point that, you know, I've run a con that didn't make the money that I wanted it to. Things didn't go the way that I had hoped. But, you know, when you bring in a guest, you make sure you can pay for that guest.
Right?
That's,
like, con rule number one, or really close to one. Like, and I have, like, questions about the management of the convention, because less than a week ahead of the convention, the con had decided to cancel the appearances of two guests, and he did remove them from the official guest's webpage. No official announcement was made, and photo op tickets were still available for sale for these two guests.
And the sales were still available when we posted the article on the website, which was well after the con had happened, so that's...
Right, so I have questions as to, like...
It's not a good look, Waxicon, is what we're getting at.
No.
It's not a great look.
No. Make sure you can pay your guests. Like, my guess is that it's one of these things where they overloaded on, you know, getting guests, getting, you know, whatever for the con, in the hopes that attendee numbers and attendee money would cover it all, when it doesn't.
They were hoping that, yeah, that they could fudge it, and then everything would be resolved later down the line.
Right? That's my guess.
It's not a great model. I imagine that I agree with your guess. Like, neither of us know for certain, obviously. But...
Right? And, like, if this dude had responded, like, apologetically and transparently, that'd be, you know, that's cool. We would give him sympathy. But, no, he's avoided emails, made wrestling, like, tried to rationalize his mistakes, and been hostile, like, to us. Like,
Yeah, it was just what a mess. What an absolute mess.
And the worst bit is, This dude intends to run another con next year. What are you doing, dude? Like,
it's like, dude, you should not be worried about what your next con is going to be. You should be worried about just getting things straightened out from this first mess.
Right? Because, like, you piss off a whole bunch of guests, they're gonna tell all their friends that you didn't pay them, so nobody's gonna wanna come and be a guest at your con. Hello?
And you know, that's another thing that I don't think some people know is that a lot of these guests, especially people who are in the same industry, they do talk to each other.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's sometimes word gets passed around, like, you know, did I have a good time at this con? Did I not have a good time at this con? Like, it's a cliche, but it's a true cliche. It's a small world. So yeah.
Yeah, it's, come on, like, if you make a mistake, just freaking apologize, own it, try to fix it. If you don't, you're a dick.
Agree.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a jerk, just own your mistakes. Good golly, that's...
We'll see if there's a Waxicon next year, but my hopes are not very high.
I just hope the guests get paid. That's all I care, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Speaking as, like, even just, like, if, like, my last thought is, like, I have been a guest at a con. It was a long time ago, but, you know, sometimes when you're a third-rate YouTuber, people care. And, you know, I was in a really tight spot when I got that guest spot. And, no, I recognize that not everyone, you know, not everyone who is a guest at these things is just, you know, is going to be in a tight spot. I'm imagining a lot of them are going to be, hopefully, be a lot more financially well off than I was, fresh out of college and unemployed. But it doesn't change the fact that some of these guests, depending on the industry that they're in, they count on the money they make off these appearances. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I really hope that things get resolved well for these people.
Yeah. Same.
But same. Yeah. Poof. What a mess. Sweet Christmas. What a mess.
Sweet Christmas.
Now,
let's read a letter.
Yeah, let's look. We got stuff in the mailbag.
Yeah.
We got two letters from the same person, but you know what? Good fan, so that's what we're going to do. So, should I take the first letter, or would you like
it? Go for it.
Okay, our first letter is from KOR Fan, and his subject is Star Wars. KOR Fan says, I've listened to part of the recent podcast, and I have some thoughts to share. On the subject of works of entertainment by now disreputable people, I refer to that as the Adam Baldwin problem. Perfect name, KOR Fan. Firefly is great, but he doesn't need to get any more of my money. Amen to that.
Agreed.
There was one of our proto examples of thing I like with a scumbag who made part of it. Okay, moving on. There was discussion about the newly announced Star Wars trilogy. It was opened that the Empire only existed for about 20 years, so there aren't a lot of stories that can take place under it. I wholeheartedly disagree. The Third Reich existed for a shorter period, far less than 1,000 years. And there are still stories to be told from that era. If we limited ourselves to historical events, we could address the saga of the HMS Glowworm, the assault on Evan Emile, pardon my bad European pronunciation, the intrigue surrounding the landings in Operation Torch. We in the West have barely touched the Russian front, and the enemy at the gates demonstrated that we'll sit down and watch these movies as well. Heck, give me a slightly PC version of Dam Busters, hopefully without X-Wing fighters. We're making up World War II fiction as well, so I'm sure we could sit through a lot more Star Wars stories about fighting the Empire. Okay, that's fair, KOR fan, and I mean, we started to see that with Rogue One. Like, there was, the Scarif Beach battle at the end of that movie was very different from the Star Wars battles we've seen in the other movies. So, yeah, maybe there are more stories to tell there. I just kind of want to go see a different world, I guess. I don't necessarily always want to see stormtroopers. But maybe there are different stormtroopers I haven't seen yet. Who knows? I accepted death troopers pretty easily, so.
I feel like there's tons of spin-off stuff we could do. I mean, look at the Christmas special. Like, tons of ideas.
We need a Blu-ray release of the Christmas special, and with that, we need a new movie about the Rodian who B. Arthur danced with, reflecting on the loss of barkeep B. Arthur.
Yeah.
Because obviously she was one of the linchpins of the Star Wars universe.
Yep. Definitely. She held the entire thing together.
But incidentally, this does not relate to KOR fans letter or anything, but I was watching part of the Star Wars holiday special for my amusement one time.
Oh,
and,
no.
Mom Izumi came in. And for those who haven't heard Mom Izumi stories, I have a lot of good ones. And Mom Izumi came in, looked at the scene of B. Arthur dancing with the Rodian, and she's like, "Is that Greedo?" I'm like, "Well, it's the same costume as Greedo." And my mom's like, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. He's dead."
Go, Mom. Good on ya.
Mom Izumi is the best. Mom Izumi was even the person who pointed out to me that any stories that involve Aquaman and Ocean Master are totally the same as Thor and Loki stories. And I was like, wait, darn it, you're right.
Nice.
I know, right? But okay, we do have another, letter from KOR fan. Should I read that one too? Since I know you have the you are our guest host of the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge this week.
Oh yes, go for it.
All right. We have yet another letter from KOR fan saying, "Con staff, no compete rules." And this is in relation to last Fortnite's episode where we talked about Daisho Con and its not allowing its staff members to staff other cons. How do you build good guest relations, staff, if they can't do it elsewhere? What do you do when your guest guest has a small circle of people they'll accept as their guest minder, and they all staff other cons? I don't have an answer for that, KOR fan. I'm not really a fan of Daisho's you're not allowed to staff other cons policy. I wasn't super fond of it. I kind of accepted it when I was on staff, but as I've moved more away from it, the more silly it seems to me.
Yeah.
And not to, you know, not to poo on Daisho too much. I mean, obviously, I'm very fond of Daisho, and sometimes to a fault, but yeah, no, I don't have a good answer for that, because I don't know if there is one. I don't have anything beyond that.
Yeah, I've honestly never really heard of a guest having, like, a circle of people they prefer.
I think I've heard of that in some situations.
Okay. I've never been hardcore in the guest relations area, so I don't know. But, I don't know. Do your best to accommodate them, would be my guess.
I do think generally it would make the entire con scene stronger if we all kind of were able to interchangeably work with each other, and not even that all cons should have the same rules or the same policies, but, you know, seeing how other people do things isn't necessarily a bad call. Sometimes it can strengthen your own resolve and build something bigger and better. It was why Darius I was such a great leader for Persia, was that he incorporated the ideas of the cultures that he conquered. So I'm not talking about conquest in this context, but, you know, being open to how other people do things can pay off, is more what I'm getting at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm trying to think, because, like, I'm trying to remember if it used to be a requirement at certain cons where, if you were on staff, like, one of the requirements you had to do was, like, volunteer at another con.
Yeah.
I might be going crazy, but I seem to think that was a thing at one point where, like, you... Or, like, it definitely was very, like... Especially if you're new to staff, like, it's very encouraged to go volunteer at other cons so that you can see, like, other... how they work and stuff like that, but...
I
don't remember if it was ever a requirement.
Yeah, like, because, like, ironically speaking, because of the what brought on this discussion in the first place, I honestly don't think Daisho's first year would have been half as successful had we not had people volunteering from other cons in the area.
Yeah.
Like, it...
I feel like... I don't know. To me, it seems like a good idea. Write in with your thoughts about this, but, like, if you're on staff, should it be required that you volunteer at another convention at least once?
Like, I'm very in favor of this.
Right? Like, that seems like a really good idea, because then, like, it's good for you, because you get in free, and then you get some experience, like, doing some of the jobs that you would be doing at your own convention.
And
this would be excellent for new people.
And you get ideas that, and you might get ideas of ways to make your con better, or things that, you know, other cons do that you might not agree with, you know, but still.
Right?
I'm not sure. I don't know where that policy... I do remember when it came into effect, but in retrospect, I'm not as big a fan of it anymore. Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I need to bring up the list of people. Okay.
The
Stall
Hall of
for
awesome.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I had to do that.
With those letters done, and thank you so much, KOR fan. We always enjoy your insights, and that's sincere. I always worry that my voice sounds sarcastic, and that's such a problem for me. Anyway, that aside, our next bit is the Vomit Hat Steve challenge. You might have thought, just because we didn't have Trey here, that we weren't going to do it. You were wrong. Take it away, Gan.
I will say that it is going to be a different book than what Trey has been reading before, because I do not have the book that he had. I have a different book. So have fun with this. This is the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge, and what the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is I will read a line from a book, and you have to guess that book. If you get it right, your prize is that you get your name listed in the Hall of Awesome, and nothing else.
What more do you want from us?
The people in the Hall of Awesome are Arkamai Zero, Rin and Senti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slither D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, this is hard, Corfan, Capito, Chris Grimm, Lily Soros, Paper Godzilla, Cavzy, Minnesota Librarians, Sean Orange, Keith Shijuo, and Sakura Sunset. How does he do that?
You made it, though, Gen. Good job.
I did it.
I'm cheering
I
for
did
you.
It all the way. And so I'm going to open up to a random
Random page. What's it gonna be? Oh yeah.
See, I'm not as good as Trey because I keep finding like things that may be clues, and I'm like, I don't want to give you guys clues. Ooh, a picture.
You can't say ooh a picture. That doesn't count.
It doesn't help them. Your line is, seven burly men in blue space jackets dashed around the corner, ray guns in hand. If you know what that what book that is, write into nerdandtie.com in the comments section and click the contact form. Also, click the contact form if you'd like to tell us your hopes, your dreams, your thoughts, what you had for dinner the other night. Tell Nick his eyebrows look really good today. You can...
You're going to have to take Ken's word for that. This is audio only.
I know. But you can find us on Facebook. You can listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm going to forget all the other things that we're on and we do.
You can...
Nick has... Trey has a Patreon that you can visit at Treydorn. Nick has a Patreon at Nickazumi. I have a coffee at Genpro.
I just need to cut in, and my Treygorn is my Patreon. Treygorn. And now Gen's going to say her coffee link.
Talk.
Oh, no. Oh,
check
no,
out my Etsy store. Other things that we're on and we do.
I screwed it up.
Nick has,
pretend I didn't do that.
Trey has a Patreon that you can visit at Treydorn. Nick has a Patreon at Nickazumi. I have a coffee at Genproc.
Like Genjamin, actually.
You can check out my Etsy store, Ocelot Dude Designs, if you want a cool thing. Am I missing anything, Nick?
Not really. You know, check out for all of that great stuff at one easy hub. Just check out nerdandtie.com. You can get previous episodes of the show, find links to all those great things Gen mentioned, even, find out what my newest video essays are, because they're at the top of the site.
Yay.
Right now, Artoria Pendragon is staring at you with her beautiful green eyes.
Finger gunning us out here.
All right. Thanks, everyone. And remember to keep on Spockin' in the free world.
Whoa. We forgot to de-introduce ourselves, but that's okay. I'm Genproc. He's Nickazumi. We're Nerd and Ty.
We're
at least two-thirds of it.
Sell me a gnome. All right. See? Full episode. Perfect.
Yay! Trey's gonna love it.